Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. My name is Michael Bosey. I'm your host. It's my pleasure to have you here with me today. Really glad that you could join. I've been on this little customer kick, as you might know, just talking about everything relating to a customer, sort of getting them involved, making them a part of your business, getting them to advocate for you, trying to influence them. Obviously, you can't control them, but, you know, just a lot to talk about with this. So, you know, I thought it'd be kind of fun to do a little, just turn the tables on you a little bit and talk about you when you are a customer. I often find this works when I'm working with clients and, you know, one of the pitfalls I think is that people tend to think of media and producing content and putting it out there in this really, you know, 20th century sort of broadcast way. You know, I don't lay fault on anyone for this because it's easy to do just because, I mean, we all grew up with media in sort of this broadcast way. That's the way we think of it, right? Television or radio or movies. It was very one-to-many and it was very passive for the recipient of that media. Obviously, that's very different now. So it's, you know, it's easy to sort of fall into that trap of just thinking, okay, content marketing is just about producing content and getting the word out there. Well, look, no, it's not. Content marketing, when it comes down to it, is really about providing some value to your future customer before they're actually a customer. Those are the rules, and that's the way that it works now. Any of this content is meant to connect with them, to inspire them, to educate them, to entertain them, to do something for them without any expectation of anything in return. I've said this over and over again. Look, it's easy to forgive folks for thinking of it the other way, but making that shift to content marketing, to this different sort of mindset, sometimes it helps when I'm working with clients to turn this around. Just as a little reminder, I end up saying this over and over again every week, which is, let's turn the table around. Suppose you are your audience. Suppose you are your customer. What would you think? So let's look at that a little bit. If you look at the way you behave as a customer, let's take you through the path on that. Think of what happens. Okay. First stage is always awareness, right? Hey, cool. There's a new product, a new service. Awesome. That looks great. So what do you do when that happens? When you find out about something new? The first thing that you probably do is you want to learn a little bit more about them, right? And you're going to get a lot of info or glean a lot of info from a lot of different sources. So you're going to research them. You're going to find out about them in a number of different ways. You might, go to their website, read a little bit about what they say about themselves. You might go to social media, either to find out what other people are saying about them, or you might, you know, try to see what they say about themselves, or what are the type of things that they share, what are the things that they care about. All these things start to form a picture of the business in your mind, and you can start to get a sense, get a feel for who they are, what's important to them, what they care about, what they can do for you. You might also go to sort of, you know, review specific sites. Like, so for instance, if you're a restaurant, Yelp is probably really important to you. Now, it's not just about the reviews. I mean, obviously, you're probably going to look for good reviews. Do you see a bunch that are sort of 4-star, 5-star, excellent? That's really good. This business looks really great. Can you trust those reviews? Maybe, maybe not. You know, you're going to look for, do they have a lot of reviews? So in other words, is the place popular enough that it got a lot of reviews? And of those, is the average pretty high? I mean, these things, you know, it's not everything, but it's another piece of data about it, especially if you don't know this business yet. Are there negative reviews on there too? That's going to affect you, the way that you think about the business too, isn't it? And how many negative? You know, if it's 50 reviews and there's one or two negative, you're probably like, that's fine. But if it's, you know, out of 50 reviews, 25 or 30 of them are negative, well, that's going to make you think a little bit differently about this. And, you know, even beyond the positive negative thing, because, you know, look, do you trust the people's opinions who are actually doing the reviewing? To a certain extent, you probably do. But, you know, in other ways, you probably don't trust them, right? You don't know these folks. You don't know their taste. That's fine. But look, here's the crazy thing. You're actually probably more willing to believe people that you've never met, you don't know their taste, but they've given a review, that's actually probably going to mean more to you than what the business itself says about itself on their site. That's just absolutely amazing if you think about it. So the business and the business owner who knows his or her business better than anyone else and says, here's what I'm going to do, they're not believable because they're not an impartial source, right? That kind of goes without saying. So you're willing to believe a complete stranger over someone who's an expert. Fine. That's the way that that works. But, you know, it's not just about the sort of positive and negative. It's also, you're kind of watching on these sites, how does the business respond to a negative review? Are they gracious? Do they try to cure it? Are they combative? All these things, you know, form a picture of the business. You may cheer when a business is combative back to a really awful customer. That may actually be a positive view that you have for that business when that happens. So even sort of a negative review can turn into sort of a positive outcome if you look at it that way. And the last thing that you probably do would be to ask your friends, right? Your friends or your family, your colleagues, people that you know well. I mean, this is probably the most powerful recommendation that you can get, especially if you share an affinity for the same things. You know, so if you trust your friend's taste in, say, movies, and she gives you a recommendation, oh, you got to see this new movie, it's amazing, you're going to trust her. But if you have a friend who, for instance, you don't agree with their taste in movies, or you feel like, they're not really up on the new movies, or, you know, this is not a person who's an avid fan, then you might not trust him so much. And that's fine too, but you'll go to the friends that you know who know something about that. And look, even if you're not in the community, I think that's, you know, that still holds true and it still works, right? So I have a lot of friends who are marathoners and runners. I am not one of those. However, I know that these friends of mine, they know so much about running and about the equipment and about the shoes and about training rituals and all of that. So anytime, you know, I need some advice on that, even if it's way above my head because these guys are so good at it, I'll still ask because, hey, look, that's a really trusted source. And usually the fun thing about that is, you know, friends who are really passionate about a certain thing. So in this example, running, look, they're really excited to talk about that and really excited to share their knowledge and try to help. But the point is that you're trying to learn about the business, just not from the business itself. I don't want to say that it's not a factor. Of course it is. What they say about themselves on their site, it's going to be important. What they say about themselves on social media, it's important. But you're going to trust others' opinions about this more than the business itself. And that stands to reason. So what are you looking for when you do that as a consumer? You know, you're trying to see how do they act in the community? Are they good players or are they not? Are they socially conscious? Are you, you know, do you have this sense that they sort of share your values and ideals? How would your friends feel if they knew that you were supporting this business? Are they good guys or not? That might make some sort of a difference to you as well. Makes a big difference whether it's a large purchase or a small purchase. If it's a large purchase, it just feels like it's more of a commitment and you want to be more sure of it. If it's something that's sort of small and throwaway, it doesn't really matter then, right? It's not as big of a factor. And, you know, to that end, too, is it something that's sort of like, an operational purchase, something that's a necessity, or is it more of a lifestyle purchase? Does it feel frivolous? Is it a luxury? Are you treating yourself? You know, of course, the timing matters about that, too. Sometimes, you know, I mean, look, we shop, we buy, we purchase for different reasons. You know, maybe you had a bad day today and you're just treating yourself, or maybe you just need something that's going to fix the stopped up drain and the purchase doesn't matter. And in that case, yeah, okay, that's a low level commitment. Who cares? That's fine. But in those purchases that are really sort of the things that are going to say something about you, something that is sort of an expression of your values through what you purchase, like, sorry, that's the way it works. You know, you're going to take more time with that. You're going to learn about the business more and you're going to trust others' opinions about it. And I guess I should throw in there, you know, what about, you know, subscription services or recurring payments, right? That's also a totally different thing. That purchase has a different weight to it and might make you really want to know that, hey, look, that business is going to be around. I like them because I'm going to be associated with them for more than just this one-time payment or purchase. Now, either way, no matter what you're doing, whether the purchase is medium, large, small, whatever, you know, that's going to affect how much hunting around you do for this alignment before you actually pull the trigger. But either way, it's very rare now that you're going to just buy something without knowing anything about it. These days, we don't really need to take a chance on a product from a company that we don't know about. Doing research is so easy. And I'm sure if you behave anything like I do online, that's the way that you handle it too. So, but I'd love to hear from you on this. Did I get this right? Is this the way that you behave as a consumer? Is this the type of process you go through when you learn about a new product, a new service, a new business, a new company? Do you do your research on them? What do you do first? Do you go to your friends first? Do you go to review sites first? Do you go to go to their website first, you go to social media first. What do you do? What's your process? You can leave a comment for me in the comments section in this episode, which you can get to at controlmouse.media. And I'd love to hear from you. I read all the comments, I promise. Or you can contact me via social media. Twitter is usually the best for me, at mbozi. So that's at mbozi. And would love to hear from you there too. All right, so I'll leave it right there. And thank you very much for listening. And I think I'll maybe do one more thing on customers and then maybe call it to, you know, move on to another topic. All right, so thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Appreciate the attention as always. You guys are awesome. See you on the next episode.